Some folks celebrate Black History Month by reading good books, attending cultural events, or just kicking back, pouring a Hennessy and Coke, and listening to some Luther Vandross on the Reel to Reel.
But our friend Rachel Hall entertained her friends by posting a new Black History Month trivia question on social media every day in February. Today, comedian Rachel Hall puts us to the test to see just how much we know about Black culture in the U.S. with questions like, where do you keep the paper plates? Or, your mother calls you from the other room. What do you say, and what does she want?
Take Rachel's Black History Month trivia challenge and see how you measure up.
Plus, why Candyman is one of the scariest films of all time.
Pete Buttigieg's new Texas accent, darling.
And did the ghost of Michael Jackson push Oprah down?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Filian. And this is Feast of Fun.
I do not say things in mirrors.
What? What are you talking about?
Because I saw Candyman when I was a child, and I didn't see the whole thing. I think I saw 30 minutes of it. I saw the bees. Mm-hmm. I saw the blood dripping from the hook. And I said, well, I guess I'm done. And I went out of the room.
You know, I was a kid. I was really scared by a horror film, and I never wanted to watch a horror film ever again.
I was scared by horror movies, but I always wanted to watch them. I saw Candyman in the theater when it came out, and it scared me. Part of the reason I moved to Chicago was because, like, Candyman, I wanted to,
because you wanted to find the ghost
horror
of a slave?
Yeah.
Because that's who he is.
Is that who he was? I forget what it was. You
he's
know?
The ghost of, like, a slave or something. I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it. I saw
what's
the trailer.
Scariest
I'm
movie
not
watching
though, it. So it's coming back. You're not going to watch the new one?
No. I'll buy a ticket, and I'm not going to go. Just to be supportive.
You want to support it?
Just to be supportive.
Well, do you want to buy a ticket for me and I'll go and I'll tell you about it?
Sure.
Okay.
But I'm not going.
What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Probably that. But I don't watch scary movies. Yeah, I don't get very far.
Part of me is like,
movies.
You know, driving to work is scary enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be dealing with like just watching a movie like Saw and be like, well, you're in part of my trap now.
See, I saw the first Saw. And to me, the first Saw was not, it was suspenseful and there were scary parts, but I wouldn't call it a horror movie.
I like Silence of the Lambs because there's a ridiculous quality to the film that a lot of other films, I like Cabin in the Woods because it, spoiler alert, the second half, it just goes out of left field.
Yeah, I saw Cabin in the Woods and I remember the second half and I just remember being like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same movie.
Do you like movies with subtitles?
Yeah, I can watch movies with subtitles.
Check out Martyrs. It's a French one. It's in subtitles. It's about people that they get to see what's on the other side of the veil.
Mm. Well, folks, today is we're wrapping up Black History Month.
Yeah.
And our good friend, comedian Rachel Hall, is back on Feast of Fun.
Is black on Feast of Fun.
Black on Feast of Fun. Rachel's been asking her friends on social media, how much do you love black people? How much do you know black how black people?
Oh my God! You sound like Joe Biden. Now.
Every show that I've had, like actual stand-up show, that I've had, like I'll say, like Happy Black History Month, everybody. And of course, these shows are usually full of white people. Mm-hmm. I did Riddles last week, and that's a black comedy club, but there were still two white people up front. And I always ask, like, "How's everyone Black History Month? Have you learned anything?" And then the white people would get so quiet. And I'm like, "Y'all don't know shit." Not.
It was hard. Your test was hard. So every day on social media, you posted questions.
29 days.
For 29 days. It was extra work from like last year. You had that whole extra day.
Yeah. So because Black History Month was a leap year, you had 29 chances to stump the people that love
to get these questions wrong.
And I didn't catch all of them, but I caught some of them. And I was just like, damn, I don't even know that.
And that's just as a disclaimer, you know, Black history is American history.
Amen.
Pop culture history. Western history, the history of civilization of the world.
Poetry says.
So for you to say, like, you know, I'm not interested in black history because I'm not black, or that's something that's not important to me.
It's that's
like,
not fair.
You're closing yourself off to a full understanding of humanity.
That's exactly. I'm not interested in white art, but I still have to go see it when I go to museums.
You didn't go to the Andy Warhol exhibit?
There were black people in there. No, actually, I do want to go there.
Yeah.
I do want to go that. I do want to go to see that.
It's that Marsha P. Johnson up. You could see the portrait of the great civil rights activist, Marsha P. Johnson, who allegedly was rumored to throw the first brick at Stonewall, but later on she said, nah, I didn't do that.
Nah, I came later. I was there.
But, you know, Marsha P. Johnson was an important historical figure and beloved transgender icon and woman of color. And
Andy
Warhol.
Victim.
And murder victim. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, did this beautiful portrait done by Andy Warhol, and it was up there for display. And it was like, to see it in person was really extraordinary. Anyways, but Black History Month is where people get to celebrate our friends with extra melanin.
The correct amount of melanin.
Little.
Hey, I have melanin too. Just not
I've
as much.
Always wondered. I got high once and I figured this was a high thought, but then I got unhigh and I was really trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Every other ethnic, national, whatever in the world has a bit of melanin in their skin, except for white people.
No, white people have some melanin, right?
Where?
Like, I have, like...
Some of y'all have get alabaster.
See that? Do you see that right there?
That's a vein.
Melanin. No.
That's a
brown
green vein.
Spot.
That's right a mole.
There. You hear this expression?
Isn't there melanin in that?
God was giving color to the world with his paintbrush, and he went to Africa, and he painted the people there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was running out of paint, so he started with a paint thinner. And started painting the other peoples of the world. And then when he got to Europe, he just started throwing the paintbrush at them.
Like okay.
And that's where freckles came from.
Oh, I've not heard that one.
No. I don't know if I needed to hear that one.
That's an interesting theory. But I've always just like, that is so odd. Everybody else has some degree of melanin. These white women are out here getting alabaster-colored makeup, which
you know
is clear.
Who doesn't have melanin? I don't think. I wonder if maybe it's albino people. They might not have any melanin.
Well, yes, and that's why they suffer in the sun.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're albino, but that's a skin that's a disease.
So if this is such a bad thing, then why do people in Africa chop off like albino's arms and make voodoo from it?
Because they think they're like some sort of superpower or something like that.
See?
I saw that in the movie District 9.
Oh, I remember District 9.
Oh, that was a good movie. Did that scare you?
No.
You but come over here, Earth Man.
That wasn't a horror movie, was it?
It was action-adventure.
Action-adventure and science fiction. And
aliens.
And it was a commentary on apartheid in South Africa.
Now, I remember when I saw,
I think killing albinos for their arms and body parts.
I saw Child's Play. That's a Chucky.
Oh, yeah. How many Chucky movies have they made?
Too many, I'm sure. But I've only seen one. However, I didn't like it because... I had a Chucky doll.
Before?
Yeah.
Before the movie came out?
But I had like the black version of the Chucky doll. And then I saw that movie and that doll immediately went in a box in the bottom of my closet. And I never took it out.
Wait, they had a black Chucky or it just looked like that doll?
No, it was this. It was a black Chucky doll.
Okay.
I gotta Google this. But anyways. So
same outfit, same.
I want to know what about the quiz that you asked your friends to pass on Black History.
I just asked 29 questions. You want an example of some questions?
Let's take the test, folks. And you people at home can take the test. And we have some questions for y'all as well.
Some Puerto Rican questions.
Well, just, you know, questions about, Puerto Rican is black adjacent, right?
Yeah.
To some degree.
And like my mom said, the boat dropped off a lot of people.
And so part of it is, you know, it's marginalized people culture. It's about understanding what life is like for someone who is struggling to be seen and heard and respected.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so here's question one from day one, February 1st.
Do we just chime in or what do we do?
Yeah.
You
say it and then Mark and I'll give the answers and then we're going to keep score.
We'll just call out the answers.
And see who's black or I guess Mark or me.
Well,
I think Mark's going to win this.
The answer's still going to be me.
But we're not. Okay. Are you taking the quiz yourself? You're the one who's doing it.
I don't need to.
You're the proctor.
I'm the black.
Can't take your own death.
So Mark and me, who's blacker? Okay. How's that?
Sure. Okay.
Maybe how about knowledgeable?
There we go.
You know?
I think it's funnier to say. But anyways, keep going. Sorry.
Okay. So day one, question one. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
Where? I had to put on my question. Where do you store paper plates?
On top of the fridge.
Oh, you knew the answer to that already. Mark got it.
Is that right?
Yes. It is on top of the refrigerator.
Okay.
That's also where you store bread.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And paper towels. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would and light bulbs too, right?
Would an acceptable answer be in the glove compartment of the car?
No. What?
That's where Puerto Ricans keep napkins, ketchup packets.
Oh, that's the only place you keep napkins is in the... In
napkins, the... ketchup packets, plastic forks.
Everything but the insurance.
Yes. Exactly. Paper plates.
Well, in Puerto Rico, every car is insured.
By the government, yeah.
God, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it works surprisingly well, and people don't pay a lot of money for insurance.
No.
How about that?
Well, look at that, America.
Yeah, socialism.
Okay. Here's my question from day
Mark
seven.
Mark got one score. Okay. I got zero.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm keeping score.
Here we go. You and your parental figure are going to the store. What are the rules?
Don't touch anything.
That's exactly what I was going to say, too.
Or don't start none, there won't be none.
Basically, that is correct. Don't touch nothing. Don't ask for shit. Don't say nothing. Those are the rules. That is correct. Okay.
Oh, Mark's beating me to it.
All right, here's a question for you.
Okay.
This is the
I try to answer the questions first before Mark gets to it?
This is a two-part question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me say both of them.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. How do you respond to the following? Won't he do it? God is good.
Okay. I have the second one.
Okay, you go ahead. You say it.
God is great.
No.
Oh, shit. Where's the buzz?
Amen to that, sister.
No.
And so what?
I know what it is.
And so,
won't he do it? And God is good.
I know, right?
Won't he do it? He that's damn better sure do it.
No.
I think it said, I know, right?
No.
Is the thing.
No. So the right response to when someone says, won't he do it? The response is, yes, he will. Yes. That's it. It's very simple.
Oh, yes, he will. Yeah.
Yes. Not, oh, yes. Just, yes, he will.
Yes, yes, he will.
Won't he do it? Yes, he will. And then the response to God is good is all the time. And all the time, God is good. You see that?
Okay. All, right. All the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Well, you still have to, say,
and why is,
God is good
why
first.
Is that an expression that's popular amongst...
I have no idea.
Is this a Texas thing?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you're from
Black
Dallas.
Black people from everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's just like when Catholics do the whole call and
praise
response
the Lord.
That they do.
Yeah.
I get, peace be unto you or whatever it is.
Catholic listeners of our show are familiar with the phrase, man's rejection. Rachel, do you know the answer to that one?
Woman's,
man's rejection is...
Woman's...
God's protection.
Oh, okay. I'm sure there's a rhyme.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get a little bit harder.
Oh, that wasn't hard?
That's the advanced.
No, that wasn't hard at all.
That's a softball question.
Okay, here's a late night edition.
Okay.
Late night edition question. What popular late night music video show came on at 2 a.m.?
Midnight at the Apollo?
It was called Showtime at the Apollo. That came on at 9 o'clock. No.
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
I
was
going to
say Night Tracks. I would say Up All Night, but we're talking about the 80s. What year are you talking here?
This
was
show
this
came
hosted
on,
by Shamar Moore?
Came on through the 90s, and I think it stopped in the mid-2000s.
I have no clue. And what television channel is it
BET.
Oh, BET. That was cable. We didn't have cable.
Because there is a follow-up question to it if you know the answer.
Oh,
what is it?
I don't know.
Okay. The show was Uncut. This was a show on BET.
Okay.
That played unrated music videos.
Oh.
Now, the bonus question was, what did Nelly do with the credit card? This is the reason why the show is no longer on the air.
He swiped like somebody's butt.
He swiped a credit card down the stripper's ass.
Yes.
That was the moment they were like, this show needs to get off of the air.
Nelly did
that? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tip drill.
God is good.
In the tip drill video. All the time. Okay.
All the time.
Yeah, see, that was it.
Okay, let me throw one for you.
Okay.
Wait, we're still taking her test.
Well, because she's loading up the questions. I'm trying to keep her busy. But okay, you ready? Go.
Okay, easier question.
Yeah.
Okay.
What time should you be back in the house?
When the lights are on.
Bam. Yeah, you got to be back inside before streetlights come on.
Mark, you're really good at this.
If you're outside.
I was
going to
say before the sun goes down.
Oh, no. before the streetlights come on.
Oh yeah.
And if you're in, if you don't make it in before the streetlights come on, your ass is getting whooped. That's it. What question did you have?
Oh, one is who's got the best mac and cheese recipe?
Your grandma.
Mine's better. That's the answer. Mark, what's the... you used to work at Michael Jordan's.
I did.
And people would order Michael Jordan's wife at the time, Juanita Jordan, who's a real estate agent here in Chicago. They put Juanita's mac and cheese on the menu.
They did.
And people would inevitably order it, especially the women, and taste it. And what would they say?
They would, most of the time they say, this is very good, because it was good mac and cheese. But every now and then there was somebody who was like, mine's better.
Of course. People take, black people take their mac and cheese recipes very seriously. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any mac and cheese questions in your thing?
I don't. I almost made a question of like, whose food don't you eat? But there's so many different versions of that. Yeah. So yeah.
What's the right answer for that one?
In my case, it's a cousin.
Okay. Certain cousin. Is the kitchen, you know what I mean? The kitchen's dirty? Is that it?
No, because they can't cook.
Because they can't cook. Okay.
Can't cook.
Yeah.
They always bring this weird jello with stuff in it.
Oh, yeah. Mark likes to
I
do
love
that.
Making that. I belong to a Facebook group called Show Me Your Ass Pick. Because that's ass pick is jello is a type of ass pick. And so it's everybody showing them like what they have.
We always have to like get some of it and then like throw it away. So cheap, we think we believe.
Yeah, I think my opinion is jello should be clear and free of any sediment, debris, or dirt.
And then here's one more, and then we can keep going on with other stuff. But like, I thought this was very easy. People got it right away, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Here we go. Ain't nobody coming to see who?
I don't know any of these. Yeah.
You.
That's what a lot of people say, but no.
What is it?
So, there's a movie that all black people have seen because it comes on VH1 all the time. It is the Temptations movie.
It's a made for TV movie about the Temptations.
About the Temptations, yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's 5 hours long. I don't know. It feels like that. But Leon, the actor Leon, one name, plays David Ruffin. And there's a point where, like, the real Temptations, David Ruffin was... thought he was the shit and he was a leader and blah, blah, blah. And he took that to his head. Okay. So in the movie, there's a part where they're having an argument with Otis, who was the original member of the Temptations and kind of kept it together all the years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having an argument and Leon, David Ruffin, looks at Otis and goes, ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. And it's just like this classic line.
So the answer
line.
Is Otis?
It's Otis. The answer is Otis.
Okay.
This kind of reminds me too of the role the Selena made for TV movie with Jennifer Lopez has in Latino communities.
Oh, I mean, and also in Texas. I've seen it like 1,000 times.
And it's like, it made Jennifer Lopez a huge star.
I mean, real talk?
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez would be nowhere if it wasn't for Yolanda Salazar.
Ask Fausto the question about playing spades.
Oh.
Oh my God. What is this one?
The question is, I've only played spades once.
Yeah.
Can I play with you?
I have no idea.
The answer is...
The games. Oh, for the kids.
The answer is fuck no. Get away from my table. No.
Go sit at the kids' table.
You are not allowed to play.
Okay.
Fausto hates card games.
Yeah, I'm like... I
love
cards,
card games,
games
but black people take
I like
spades.
Dominoes.
Seriously, mm-hmm. I don't like
my
dominoes.
My family and I, we will play dominoes till the sun comes up.
Oh, you should play dominoes with some black people.
But I just card games. My brain turns off. See? I'm looking at that. And at work, sometimes they bring the Uno.
Oh, ooh. Mm.
And I'm like, no.
Uno will make people fight.
Oh, no.
Uno will get fights started.
Yeah.
I don't like dominoes because I can't count that fast. It's too much pressure. I'm like, 6, 5.
But part of the dominoes is that you have like a cocktail or a drink. You're playing,
that's exactly
outside,
why you should not be playing.
And you're just enjoying the company of the people, and you're just letting the time go by, and you're just enjoying yourself.
So when Puerto Ricans play dominoes, does it get to the point where people are slamming bones on the table, and jumping and yelling and stuff? Because that's
a little
how
bit,
black people play.
A little bit.
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
Woo! Spades,
my sisters just get Uno, drunk.
Spades, Uno, and dominoes. If you're not here to win, back your ass up from the table.
No, we sometimes we get very, my family is kind of very cooperative, and some, and this drives Marks crazy. We'll play charades and then make the game easier so that kids or dumb people can
win.
Oh, it drove me crazy.
No. When my nieces and nephews want to play Uno, they get the same adult slap down as the rest of us. We don't care that you're 9, Dylan.
I don't know what it is. My sister has special needs. She has Down syndrome. And for whatever reason, whenever we play Uno, I swear to God, she wins like 9 times out of 10.
She's like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man. Yeah. Take her to a casino. You know,
I'll sit next to her. I'm like, I'll ply her with here, draw four. And she sails right through.
Man, Uno, you get real. It gets real personal when you play those games. For some reason, it's just like, oh, that's how you're going to do me after 16 years of marriage? You're just going to put down a draw four? Wow.
Well, you're from Texas. Do you play Texas Hold'em? Do you like poker?
I do like poker. Mm. I haven't played in a while, but I do like poker.
We'll have to play some cards sometime.
I like it.
And so give us the other questions. Is that it? Or 29?
There's 29 questions.
Well, okay, go a little bit faster.
Okay. Who sung at Obie and Sinclair's wedding?
I have no idea who these people are.
Yeah, see? Obie and Sinclair
Tamara Braxton.
No. Obie and Sinclair were two of the characters on Living Single. And Kyle, two of the other characters, Kyle and Khadijah, sung at their wedding.
I didn't watch that show. I was working then. I was like,
it's on Hulu.
Okay. Is it good watching in repeat runs? Sitcoms are not my thing.
It's one of the best shows that's ever been on television.
Oh, really?
If it wasn't for Living Single, there'd be no Friends.
Mm.
Fact. Because they did that.
They did that. That came out in the news recently, didn't it?
I mean, yeah.
Something about that. There was like, we were going to do it. And then
someone was interviewing Queen Latifah. Mm-hmm. And they were asking her about Friends. And she was like, we did that already. but, okay. If you want hair so soft, silky, and free, what are you really requesting?
A wig.
Nope.
What? Afro Sheen?
No. Good choice, but no.
Okay.
There was a product that all little black girls used.
Light and Lovely, or?
Called Just For Me. And that was the slogan. Hair so soft, silky, and free. I want style just for me. Just for me. J-U-S-T-F-O-R me.
No, I don't.
Mark is beating me so hard in this game.
That's what she
said. Do I get a half point for Afro Sheen, right?
No, you don't get a half point for her.
Jerry Curl is the one that a lot of people know because of it. Part of it is like
Curl was a hairstyle.
I'm thinking about these, a lot of these questions or jokes or stuff like that. This comes from like Black Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live or like Good Times or The Jeffersons or like a sitcom where sort of brought in elements of black culture into white audiences or people who are not familiar with it. And so we have that kind of point of reference there.
Here's one. Your mama yells at you from the living room to come here.
Uh-huh.
How do you respond and what does she want?
Get your ass right here right now.
So how acceptable do you respond? Answer. Yes, ma'am.
Acceptable answer.
And what does she want? She wants you to get a cold pop from the fridge.
Maybe, but no, that's not what I was looking for. Not what I was looking for.
What is it?
She wants you to either get her remote.
Oh.
Get her purse. Or get something that's sitting right next to her that she could get her damn self and she would just look over there.
It's the purse is the right answer.
Choosy what she wants.
You know, your mother's
or
purse.
Or she just wants you to make sure that you was listening and came here.
My mother always wanted something effervescent.
Oh, okay. I guess.
So, which is, you know, in terms of time and being on time, Which is longer? Who's later? CPT or PRPT?
What is PRPT?
Puerto Rican people time.
So she's never had this problem because I'm not late.
You are not late. You are always on time.
I'm the black person that's like, y'all, I'm 5 minutes late, 15 minutes early. Like, I'll tell you I'm going to be 5 minutes late, 15 minutes before I'm going to be there. My mom, late. My brother says he's showing up at 4. We already know that means 9 o'clock.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my brother's.
So what is it? Like, how does he get to work on time?
Oh, he'll get to work on time because that's a check. Anything else? Yeah. I don't know.
Puerto Rican time? What's for dessert?
Puerto Rican time is tomorrow. Yeah. Like tomorrow. The next day.
I had a friend
like Puerto Ricans will sit down in a restaurant, have menus, and call you up to invite you to come meet them at the restaurant. And you're like 20 minutes, 30 minutes
but
away.
But you know what? It's you're thinking about the person and you're going, do you want me to order something? Here's another question. And Mark has the answer to this one. What's for dessert? I don't care as long as it's in a to-go container.
Okay.
That's a thing in Chicago. I don't know if that's everywhere, but it's like you go to like BJ's Fried Fish on the South Side in Chicago, They have a cooler, and every single dessert is already packaged in a to-go container.
When I worked at Michael Jordan's restaurant, you would deliver a dessert, and then people would look at it, and they're like, what is this? I'm like, it's the dessert. They're like, it's on a plate. They're like, yes. He's like, why is it not in a to-go container? I'm like, because... I can do it in the to-go container. Now, some people got wise and they would order, like, I'll have it to go. Because, I always wondered, why are black people taking all these desserts to go? Like,
because part of it is you don't want later? People watching you or judging you while they're eating dessert.
Is that it?
Nobody care about that.
Why? Yeah, maybe for listeners
out there.
I guess
they figure they're probably ready to go. I don't know. I've never, if I go to a restaurant, I'm assuming if I order dessert, and it's going to be on a plate.
No. Yeah. That's a huge thing.
Maybe it's a Chicago thing. I think
unless
it's
like a hood
Chicago
restaurant,
thing.
Then no. I know it's going to be in a to-go.
It's a thing.
It's like you can get like, if you go to like a lot of restaurants you can go to, and like if you go order at the window, it's going to be right there.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
That I've seen.
And so that's going to be a dessert like that. Or if you go to the Jewel, it's going to be like that. But
at a truck stop, they're going to usually have the desserts in a to-go container. I don't know. It's a thing. Comedians have talked about it for years, and I've just kind of observed it.
I mean, and some of the people I worked with, the black people, would be like, it's served on a plate. And the other people are like, okay.
Oh, here's one. I know y'all don't know. There's a leak. Where is it?
In the basement?
Nope.
In this house?
Close. There's an old gospel song that goes, there's a leak in this old building, and my soul has got to move, and my soul's got to move. Yeah.
I may have seen that one on Facebook already, so I did have an advantage. Slight advantage.
So that's one. But
did you have somebody who was like an overall winner? Did you pick a winner?
No, because all y'all was wrong. There's people who played all the time. I was just like,
one more, and we got to wrap this up.
How much foil is too much?
Not enough.
Exactly. There's no such thing. No such thing. Just foil for no reason.
Okay, here's one from the Gorilla Girls. If February is Black History Month and March is Women's History Month, what happens the rest of the year?
White people complaining about the last 2 months.
Discrimination.
Yeah, there we go. White tears.
Hey, it's Super Tuesday. Who won?
Oh, let's find out.
Pete Buttigieg did.
He's going to win something, right?
Something like that.
I don't know if anything's going to be.
Nothing's really been reported yet. There's only like 9% reporting in Alabama for Biden. California is not even close.
It's coming very close between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. And one thing that I've been saying for about a week now is
Bernie Sanders got Colorado.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, pretty much. And I think Joe Biden's one of his platforms was he's going to ban marijuana nationwide.
He doesn't know. He's just saying.
And I'm
things.
Just like, oh my God. That's
Joe Biden is just opening his mouth and letting things come out of it.
Ooh, Bernie's getting Texas, it looks like. Yes. With 6% reporting.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders.
That's fine. So that's, come on, Texas. Make it purple. Make Texas a purple state.
Biden got Virginia.
I just want people to stop liking Joe Biden.
Why is that?
I don't think Joe Biden actually wants to be president. I think he just wants to be in a physical fight with Donald Trump.
Ooh, that could be.
Which is fine. I will get that pay-per-view special.
Didn't he challenge some old guy like to some kind of
push-up
shit?
Yeah, he
said,
I'd take him out. If he said that to my sister, I'd take him out to the back and beat... Shut your old ass up.
Do you think Joe Biden could take down Donald Trump?
I think the wind could take down Donald Trump. I think my 9-year-old niece could take Donald.
Think about it as like Donald Trump is making it easy for anybody to win this election.
Donald Trump.
If Democrats lose this election, they had it coming. Well, you know,
I'm still not fully convinced we're going to win.
No, I don't think so either. So, and part of it is like, you know, the superdelegates announcing who they're going to be supporting before people get to vote. It to me is not democratic.
It's not.
And if you're on Facebook lately, people are up in arms about who to vote for. Whether Warren is staying in the contest, what's the result of Warren staying in the election?
They feel
like she's splitting the progressive vote, and she may be, but she's certainly not, according to Super Tuesday, you know, getting any results or any traction.
I don't know what her thing is. She's like, she can't find her footing. I like Elizabeth Warren. I don't dislike her. She had my vote for a while.
Yeah. What made you change your mind?
Hillary Clinton talking shit. I don't.
What does Hillary Clinton have to do with Elizabeth Warren?
The minute that Hillary was like, Americans don't like Bernie Sanders, I was like, Hillary, shut the fuck up. You're not even playing anymore. That's like when you play dominoes with somebody and someone in the back is talking shit. It's like, you're not even at the table. Shut up. Be quiet.
Listen, she's getting paid by somebody somewhere to talk about things to keep herself relevant.
She doesn't need to be relevant. Go, you and Bill, go relax in Harlem.
You know, I mean, they are of retirement age. Go chill out.
Shut up.
Part of me is like, I see a lot of people weighing in on their preferred candidate. And there seems two schools of thoughts is that a lot of people are choosing Joe Biden because they feel, not because they like Joe Biden or agree with any of his policies.
Safe bet.
But they think that in order to defeat a conservative like Trump, you're going to have a conservative Democrat like Biden to appeal to those Republican voters. And I'm like, Republican voters and the Republican Party has shown pretty clear to me that they're not willing to negotiate or settle for anything.
The Republican Party now is like, first of all, they're all a cult. Prove me wrong. It's a cult. But like, it's very... I pay attention. I study cults because I find it interesting. They're a cult.
Without a doubt, you know, it's almost as though
you can't say anything about our superior leader.
And it's just like they're a fan of like a football team and like their football team can do no wrong. And
right. That's their party. It's like Cowboys fans. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
And I don't know about you, but, you know, looking at the stock market and looking at the coronavirus as a looming threat, the fact that we don't have any health care. Any candidate, if Joe Biden is serious about defeating Bernie Sanders and defeating Donald Trump,
jump on the healthcare.
All he needs to do is say, you know what? Me too with Bernie Sanders. Just say, you know what? I raise you one. I'm going to bring that platform into mine.
What I never liked about Joe Biden from jump is that he can't stand on his own morals without bringing up somebody black. Specifically Barack Obama.
He had a close relationship with him for 8 years. God, you're making me feel like Meghan McCain now or something.
Clearly it wasn't that close. Because Barack Obama was like, I'm not endorsing your ass.
Well, clearly it wasn't to be that fair, damn close. Pritzker, the Illinois governor, he's not endorsing any candidates either. And a lot of, if you're a wise leader, you're going to let the democratic process play out during the primary.
But it's just so much pandering.
And not push your thumb on the scale.
Disgusting how much pandering. I think because I don't really pay attention to campaign ads, but the one that I did see of Joe Biden, it's like every frame, it was him shaking the hand of a black person or patting a black person on the back.
You were probably, you know what, are you seeing this on Facebook?
No, I saw it on YouTube.
Okay. You might be getting these targeted kind of ads and stuff like that towards you because of, you know, you're a black person. So you might be saying,
I saw it on YouTube.
Okay.
Well, YouTube knows you're black. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, that's
because I don't see very many campaign ads, though.
Don't you know what cookies, because you're in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Don't you know what cookies are, honey?
They find that.
If you're in a swing state, you're going to see political ads.
But that's all Joe Biden does.
Listeners
of this podcast right now. Mm-hmm. Are going to be listening. Why don't we take an ad break and see if a political ad shows up for them. Let's listen. Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you.
The best way to support the podcast is to become a Plus member, and you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
That's feastoffun.com/plus.
Thank you.
Was that a political ad or not? I don't know.
Was it? You guys, let us know.
Let us know.
But like, Joe Biden's been doing that from day one. Every single speech. Barack Obama and blah, blah,
people
blah.
People love Barack every Obama, single so speech. He just wants to stand in his...
Every
you know.
Single speech, he's constantly bringing up someone that's better than him in black. And it's annoying. Like, just be your own thing, dude. Like, the pandering, that's like when white people walk up and, like, when Kendrick Lamar first came out. If one more white person asked me how I felt about Kendrick Lamar, like, if you don't get the fuck away from me, that's wonderful. You listen to rap music, I don't care. Like, it's just... It's too much. Pete Buttigieg all of a sudden trying to not even Pete. Last time when Beto was talking Spanish. I get that you speak Spanish, but shut up. Just stop.
Did you guys hear, like, you're from Texas. Let's listen to Pete Buttigieg and see what his Texas twang sounds like. How do you guys feel about that?
When I ran for president, we made it clear that the whole idea was about rallying the country together to defeat Donald Trump and to win the era for the values that we share. And that was always a goal that was much bigger than me becoming president. And it is in the name of that very same goal that I'm delighted to endorse and support Joe Biden for president.
Joe Biden for president.
I do declare, darling.
It's the same shit George Bush did.
Yeah.
He sounds like Gina Gershon in Showgirls.
Besides, my lawyers got me a real nice settlement.
I'm just a little farm girl from Del Rio myself.
You don't want me to use up all my lipstick on you, darling.
George Bush is from Connecticut. Mm. He bought the Rangers and all of a sudden started talking like this.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Well, you know, his father had a southern accent, didn't he?
No.
No, he didn't. He's like...
None of them have southern accents.
Quantico. When he's talking about... I don't know. I always felt... Because I lived in Texas for 6 years and my mother's from the South too... And I feel like a little bit, the southern accent is a little bit of a put on. Just a tiny bit of an.
Well, Texas ones aren't that heavy. Yeah. It just depends on where you are.
Yeah. But I noticed with some people, it's like they're, you know, and I find myself sometimes trying to do it. It's like you just want to, you know, throw a little shade, talk like Lady Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you're around it, you kind of pick it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe he's hanging out in the South. I don't think it's that big of a deal or like, you know, just crucify it.
But it just depends on where you are. Because I remember I went to high school with this one guy who did the whole Wranglers and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you're from Dallas, dude. And I remember we would always just be like, why you talk like that? Like, you're not from, like, stop. Calm down. Like,
maybe his parents talked like that.
They didn't. I met them. They didn't sound nothing like that. Nope. Wrong.
Have you seen Oprah Winfrey talking about balance, being balanced?
I mean, Oprah falling. Oh, I've seen it at least 50 times today.
It's so funny.
I've seen it at least 50 times.
Why are you laughing at this poor old woman as she falls down? She could have broken one of her titanium hips or something.
It's terrible.
I mean, I get it. I'm clumsy. I fall standing still too.
Let's play. I don't know if it comes across as audio, but let's listen to the audio.
But it's still hilarious.
Of it.
Does she put her arm out? Does she save herself? Or does she fall? She hits hard.
So here's my definition of what wellness means to me. This is my definition, not yours. Just an idea, because you're going to be defining it for yourself. Wellness to me means all things in balance. And balance doesn't mean all things are equal or at peace at all times.
Down goes Frasier. Down goes Frasier.
Let's get some shifts.
Well, she falls forward, huh?
She tripped.
Yeah.
She wobbles.
It's kind of like falls. Lady Gaga with those crazy heels, you know? You're kind of just wanting to see her fall.
It's like when a baby first learns how to walk and they always see their hands in the air.
And she's got a microphone in one hand. She has something in the other hand.
She saved the mic.
She had like a brochure or piece of paper or something.
Because you always want to put that arm out. Put that arm out, break your fall.
She ain't doing it.
Oprah then later on said she's fine and, you know, stuff. But I guess Snoop Dogg was just like cackling and howling about it a little too much.
A lot of people were like, that's what you get.
Talking about balance and then falling over.
Was it Snoop Dogg said Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant, was it? It was Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant were blowing wind to
yeah,
knock
I've
her
seen,
over.
So I've seen a bunch of, I've seen a bunch what? Of like clips today where people like made that into a song, of course, because the internet is vicious. And then I saw one where it was her talking and then they inserted Kobe Bryant like crossing over somebody to make it seem like he like broke her. Yeah, to make it like he broke her. And then I saw one where it was Michael dancing around her and then he did like his whole like poof, and then she fell. I've seen so many of those today. They're all hilarious.
What beef does Michael Jackson have with Oprah Winfrey?
Well, because Oprah did that. She produced that whole documentary about him allegedly touching them boys or whatever.
And part of it is like one of those dancers who claimed
Wade
to be
Robeson,
molested.
The one that broke up Britney and Justin.
He was like mad because he had been wanted a job with the estate of the Jackson family and didn't get it. So he's like, I want to punish you all.
Yeah.
That's so, the story, right?
That's the story.
He said when he was younger, like Michael basically courted him and would ask for them to send fax pictures and all this stuff. The only reason why I'm like, I don't know, because after he made that documentary, he came out and said, oh, I still love Michael Jackson. Everyone should still love him. I think he's a great man. And I was just like, that's odd. That's odd.
Well, I'm sure he was probably attacked relentlessly by people coming after him saying you're trying to destroy this great person.
Yeah, but that if that happened, yeah, there are going to be people say that about R. Kelly. Those girls that he's still dating say that about R. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like...
And that's the thing. He probably, you know, those he groomed them, right?
Those women that have come out and said stuff about R. Kelly, I'm pretty sure they get the same type of stuff. But none of them have gone back and been like, but, you know, Step in the Name of Love is still my favorite song. Like, that's...
It is weird.
But it is interesting, you know, like when we think about meltdowns or awkward, legendary press interviews, it is three of the top black entertainers of all time. So you're thinking about Whitney Houston with Diane Sawyer. Show me the receipts.
Yes.
Crack is cheap. I do not do crack. You know, those kind, that one.
I make too much money to ever do crack.
Yeah. There's R. Kelly with...
Come on, Kelly!
With Gayle King.
God, that interview was hilarious.
And there was Michael Jackson with Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. I am a gentleman.
Well, and Tom Cruise, I would say that was a meltdown too when he jumped on her couch.
That man's always been crazy.
Part of it is like, you know...
But no, because people are like, he's so in line.
But like, you think of Robert Walters, who interviewed so many people throughout her career, you never had this kind of level of notoriety coming out from her.
Is
you know?
Robert Walters still?
And yes. Part of it is, okay. is, and when we were reading and talking about this, is that with, at least with the Whitney Houston interview with Diane Sawyer, it was that Whitney Houston was trying to save her image. And her image... And that's why she did the interview. And Diane Sawyer was asked to ask those questions about drugs and all that stuff. So
to set her up for a win.
Set her up for a win. And she just went and fucked it up.
And
anyways.
Then she just went and did her crackhead self.
And poor so Whitney. She's going through it.
We think of Diane Sawyer as, you know, trying to, you know, catch her, but she was actually being paid money to try to resuscitate.
So nobody was coaching Whitney on this? I mean,
allegedly, no.
That's
and like,
that's whack.
Where was the publicist? Where was the handlers at the time and say,
cooking
you know,
her crack?
Let's
someone
let's
had to
pause
do
this interview. Let's take a break or something like that, you know? I don't know.
But see, that's why I don't feel like. Like everyone, Snoop Dogg going after Gayle is like, yeah. Right. Because it's like, they're journalists. That's kind of their job. Like, I understand how you're like, I don't necessarily care for the question. But it's like, those were things that happened. And she can ask that. Mm-hmm. She's a journalist. Let the woman do her job.
Right. I think one of them came back and apologized and said, I was wrong to criticize her. I realized her role in society as a journalist. And sometimes you have to ask those questions that maybe some people aren't ready to hear.
Yeah, that's a job. Let her do her job.
Mike Tyson, in a recent interview, says that he feels that he did wrong. He hates his old self. Sometimes I feel like a bitch.
He said he's scared of he's scared of himself.
Yeah.
In an interview with Sugar Ray Leonard on his podcast, Hot Boxing, which I love the name of that show.
Is it really called Hot Boxing?
Hot Boxing.
Do you know what that? You know what a hot
I know
boxing
what hot boxing is. Somebody's kid came up with that. They were like, "Ooh, Dad, you should call Hot Boxing." They were like, "What's that?" I heard. It's when...
So let me read you the quote
for
here.
Some people, because we have a lot of international listeners, for people that don't know what a hot box it is, it's when you, when you're in bed with somebody, you fart in bed, and then you pull the covers up over that other person so they have to smell your filth.
Okay, so here's my... here's Mike Tyson's quote. "I know the art of fight. I know the art of war. That's all I've ever studied. That's why they feared me when I was in the ring, because I was an annihilator. That's what I was born for. Now those days are gone and I feel empty. I'm nothing. I'm working on the art of humbleness. That's the reason I'm crying now, because I'm not that person anymore. And I miss that person. I sometimes feel like a bitch because I don't want that person to come out. Because he comes out, hell is coming with him. And that's not funny at all. I hate that guy. I'm scared of him."
I'm scared of Mike. He's just like, that's inside of him. It's going to come out.
I think that's extremely beautiful and moving and wise.
Yeah.
And I wish that, you know, everybody out there, you know, Mike Tyson has lots of money and lots of time to reflect on his state of mind. And, you know, I wish that everybody who listens to the show would have that luxury as well, including ourselves. It doesn't take money or time to reflect on your life. It just sometimes takes a minute, but
yeah, that's maturity and being able to accept humility, like you were saying. It did make me think though, what is it about Mike Tyson? Because Mike Tyson, when Mike Tyson was Mike Tyson, was a shitty ass person. What is it about Mike Tyson that we as a society were like, we can forgive Mike, we can keep giving him chances, we can keep doing this, we can keep doing that. But when it comes to other people, we're like, nah, you fucked up. That's it. That's the end of your life. Because Mike Tyson beat the shit out of Robin Gibbons. Mike Tyson shit ate that man's ear. Like, Mike Tyson did some terrible things.
You know, I think maybe people expect it because of his career. So they're kind of like, well, he's a boxer. That's how he's made. That's who he is. And, you know, his two-year-old daughter died on his, like, his exercise machine. She got caught up in the treadmill.
Oh,
died.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So,
and all those people on YouTube, like, you know, putting on a pair of heels and running on treadmills, I'm like, that's just an accident waiting to happen.
Oh, every time I see it, I'm like, you don't like your ankles.
Mm. Well, now he became a Simpsons character too, right?
Yeah.
He was on Broadway.
You know, you make a very valid point. Why is that?
Mike Tyson was a shitty person and we can forgive him.
I guess he's trying to be a better person.
Kobe was shit when he was 19, and he spent the rest of his life trying to be a better person. Yeah. And the minute he dies, I mean, when he raped somebody, like, you know what I mean?
Well, Mike Tyson's not dead yet, you know, and part of it is it's easier to, I mean, someone was pointing out the other day that why we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr., and not Harold Washington, for example, is because Martin Luther King Jr. died in his prime. And with the exception of his wife and family, who are all, one of his daughters very conservative, but his wife, obviously, and his family were very progressive and fighting for unions and for working class people, as well as civil rights. You know, Harold Washington could talk about his legacy for the rest of his life. And therefore, he could not be mystified or aggrandized like someone like Martin Luther King.
You know, the other thing with Mike Tyson, though, too, is he had that lisp. You know what I mean?
So those things that people used to making fun of him. So they were like,
you think a lisp is more of a humble or like he almost sounds like a little kid. Because most people, you don't really meet that many adults that speak with a lisp unless they're like, a sissy gay guy, you know?
It's like, we have a podcast just describing the difference between a gay and a heterosexual lisp.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
The lisp. The lisp. Mike Tyson lisp is one, and the sissy lisp is different. You can hear the difference, right?
Wait, do it again?
The Mike Tyson lisp is more to the front of your mouth, and the sissy lisp is more in the middle or to the back of your throat. But both are a consequence of childhood trauma.
I thought this was people who suck their thumb too much.
And the brain's ability to communicate with the left and the right hemisphere.
Okay.
So that childhood trauma slows down the communication of the corpus callosum, which is the bridge between the left and right side. And as a consequence, the mouth can't keep up. And so it starts to lisp like that.
I don't know if that's the case. That's stuttering. You're thinking of stuttering.
The gay lisp. That's what it, yeah.
But no, it's not. I think you're
and stuttering also is a result of that. Okay. A lot of those speech issues or challenges come from that childhood traumas. Mm. So have you heard about the woman who's going to be going to prison for catfishing and blackmailing two gay men on Grindr?
I know. It's so nuts. She's going to go to school or go to jail for like 13 months. I think it's, you know, it's wild. So she meets these two guys on Grindr, mm-hmm. and she's sending them just photos of her pretending to be a guy, mm-hmm. and sending videos and stuff and keeps chatting and whatnot. And then eventually she just ends up going berserk on the guy because like he's, you know, she's not the real person, and he threatens to send all like his nude photos and whatnot to all his families. And and then she does it to this other guy. She tries to escape to France, but then they bring her back. And
for France?
I guess she's a French. She was born in France, so.
She didn't even get no money on him?
No,
She catfished wrong.
So that's the thing. It's like, you know, on Grindr, most people are like, I'm going to send you nudes to your parents. And most people are just like,
okay,
go right ahead.
My parents changed my diapers. They know what my dick looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So. Story time with Rachel. When I was still in Dallas, I don't know how long Grindr had existed at the time, but I was like, what is Grindr? What is it? And then I heard out what it was and I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. So I made a Grindr account. Now, I never put an actual photo of anything up. I think
you're a blank profile?
Yeah. I think it maybe at one point I put like a picture of a man's chest, but like I never put anything on there, but I never talked to anybody.
No,
I just wanted to see who was around me, who was on Grindr, because Grindr had that feature that it was like 5 feet away. And I was like, what? That was what made me like want to get on it. Cause I was like, it lets you know how close people are.
Oh yeah.
And so, and I was working at the,
what'd you discover?
I was working at the theater at the time. So I was like, of course, I want to know how many people in here right now are on Grindr. I was like, this is a theater. And I would just find like all my friends that are on Grindr. That's it.
Did you figure out that somebody was gay that you didn't know was gay?
Oh, no, I knew these people were gay. I literally just wanted to be like, who is
you should have gotten to
cruising at, you know, Book of Mormon. Like, that's it.
I would have been like, you got a dick pic?
And so I never really responded to anybody. Except this one time when I first started comedy, I jumped on it while I was there and I discovered that there was someone there who was in the same hotel that the comedy club was in, like a couple floors up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took a picture of three of the other comics and I sent that to them and he came down. Now,
to see the show?
I don't know, because he never actually made himself known to the three guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if he came down, he didn't say anything.
Damn.
Because he never sent a picture of him. He was just like, I'm upstairs, I'm coming down.
I wonder what percentage of people on Grindr are female identified. There's probably a lot to kind of get off on catfishing and doing stuff.
But like I said, I never talked to anyone. I never was like, I'll meet you. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Part of me is like...
How many of the people who are really nasty assholes on Grindr, I wonder how many of them are women.
Oh, trying to get even with their ex-boyfriend or something.
Or just be like, I'm going to like lure somebody in, then I'm going to tell him, no, we're not having sex.
Oh, I'm sure there's... But I mean, there's people on Tinder mm-hmm. that do that. They're just they just want to like...
I used to identify as a woman on Tinder just so I could get some of that closeted trade. And I got people responding. Some
straight
responding.
Trade
yeah.
energy.
Really? Oh, yeah.
See,
and then they blocked your ass.
And then they blocked me.
Yeah. I never got that. Everyone always says, like, the minute you swipe on someone and they send you this, like, weird sex message, or they just send a picture of the, like, I've only gotten that once, and that was recently.
Mm.
And some
what
guy.
What were they offering?
He asked me if I would peg him.
And what'd
What's
you say?
That mean exactly?
That's when a woman puts on a strap on and then fucks a dude.
Okay. And did you?
No, I sent it to my friends
mm-hmm.
and another group of friends that are comedians. And I was like, hey guys, what should I say? So I would take the picture and then I would send it to them. And then one of my friends who does have experience in pegging was like, tell him this. And so I told him that. And then eventually,
what did you say? Because I really want to know.
So she is, she said the first, she said, cause he was like, are you interested in pegging? So then, she had me reply back. How much are you willing to give me?
Oh, so it's for money.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, she was like, if he wants pegging, then he needs to be able to pay for it. So I was like, okay. So I responded with that. And he was like, LOL, not much. And then, so of course she was like, well, if he ain't trying to pay you, then I don't know what the fuck he's trying to peg you for or get pegged for. And then I can't remember what else I said, but eventually he figured out I was like fucking with him. Mm-hmm. And then he unmatched me. That is the weirdest thing. Other than that, that is the first and the only time that's ever happened to me.
I love the fantasy sometimes of dating and hookup apps, but part of me is like, you know, we live in coronavirus times, and it's like,
I wonder how much like those hookup apps are like, because you know, South by Southwest, there's parties being canceled.
Trying to cancel the whole South by Southwest.
Yeah.
So which they should. There's not enough space in Austin for that shit.
And then other things. Somebody was just telling me something else just closed. There was a show here in Chicago, and they were shutting that down too because of it. And I'm kind of like, are people really that afraid of this virus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike Pence is on the case. You know, he's going to pray the gay away, and now he's going to pray the coronavirus away.
Mike Pence is
going
to figure out a way to turn the coronavirus into HIV/AIDS.
Yeah, if he hasn't already.
If he hasn't already. He might have it, though. So, fingers crossed, everybody.
Because that kid touched him, right?
A kid in a public school, I guess, met Mike Pence, and then later it was revealed that the kid has been exposed to...
Well, he was quarantined, I think.
To kids who had the coronavirus.
So, you know, fingers crossed. Let's all pray for Mike Pence.
Let's pray for Mike Pence.
Mike Pence is going to get the best health care in the world.
No, he's not, because he doesn't believe in science.
Well, he'll just go to the hospital.
He'll still get it.
He's not going to the hospital.
I hope he gets the what is the you know,
CDC,
I hope he gets,
look at him.
Yeah. I mean, they
if
defunded
he goes to
the
hospital,
CDC right
I
now.
I hope the only person that can help him is a female doctor. And then he's going to be like, well, you're not my wife, so you can't touch me.
They'll get a male doctor and his wife will be there the whole time.
This is an argument to have Medicare for all. If you have health insurance, do you have health insurance?
I literally just got it for my job.
Do you know what your deductible is? Do you know what a deductible is?
Yes, I do.
So deductible means how much money you have to pay before the health insurance kicks in mm-hmm. and covers the rest of the bill.
It depends on what I'm doing. Like if I go to urgent care, I have to pay $75.
Which is what urgent care costs anyway. Yeah. So.
If I have to go to the emergency room, like $300 or something.
And that's sometimes what emergency room costs anyways.
Emergency rooms cost way more.
It can cost more depending on the circumstances and where
and
you're
I
going.
I have not paid those bills.
However, your deductible is probably between $5,000 and $10,000, I'm guessing.
Probably.
And so if you're come down with the symptoms of the coronavirus and they want to rule it out, it's going to cost about $4,000 to get you tested. And you're going to have to pay every
single penny
of that.
Why do you even know if you have the coronavirus? Why would you personally ever have to pay whether you have the coronavirus? You're just going to go to the hospital and they're going to...
There's people who have already been tested for coronavirus and they've gone into bankruptcy or shock because mm-hmm. they were getting the bill for $4,000 for just the test.
In America, health is a scam.
And so if we're trying to fight the coronavirus and we want people to get tested, just like we're fighting HIV, and we want to identify who's been exposed and quarantine or address this, it's going to be very difficult if people have to pay $4,000 out of their pocket just to find out if they have it or not.
Yeah.
And so people are going to hide and spread the coronavirus disease. Also, in this country, people don't usually have days off work. They don't have sick leave.
Nope.
So people are going to work sick, coughing on their hands and spreading it at fast food places and everywhere else.
Because you can't afford not to have them hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so
this is America.
This is why we need a progressive movement that really means it, you know? And we don't, part of me is like, people are just criticizing Bernie Sanders. And I'm like, I'm not a monarchist. I'm not a person who is tied to any political candidate on an emotional level.
Right. Exactly. I'm definitely not tied to anybody on an emotional level. I don't give a shit about these people.
You know, I don't. And part of me is it's the platform. It's the things that we want to get accomplished. And so if Biden wants to get Bernie Sanders voters, all he has to do is say the three words, Medicare for all.
But
we all know it would be a lie at this stage in the game.
It doesn't matter. If he wants to take the wind out of Bernie Sanders' sails,
but he will say it at some
point. He will say
just
it.
Just give him a chance. He'll say it. And then he'll also say that him and Barack Obama killed Hitler together.
with another black person that's famous.
Yeah, with Cornel West. They all got together and they killed him. And then he'll also say, you know, he knows why the cage bird sings and all this other bullshit that he can remember about black people at the time.
Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks
and sharing your knowledge of black culture.
I know so
obscure
much.
Obscure black culture.
It's just regular.
Who won the quiz, as if there's any doubt?
The listener won.
The listeners win.
Yes.
Because we all won together.
And we want to give you a little Black History Award, dear listener.
Ooh.
That comes with a certificate of knowledge and support, because you are a Feast of Fun premium subscriber by going to feastoffun.com/plus, and you can access thousands of legendary shows with some amazing comedians, LGBT media people, drag queens, culture critics, and pundits who don't suck. And by the way, Chris Matthews, he just quit on the air.
He did.
He did.
He's like, he literally did a take this job and shove it. Fuck you, and walked off the air in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I was
how close to the end of the show did he do it?
He did it at the open.
He did like half of, yeah.
Just, he was like, hey, everybody, welcome to Harbo. By the way, I quit.
Fuck y'all, bye.
I had a conversation with NBC, and they said I had to go, so fuck y'all. Fuck the horse that you rode in on. Like, he started the show like that.
And all because, like, it's weird, right?
It was because he had compared Bernie Sanders to Hitler, even Bernie Sanders' family.
Well, allegedly there's some
And he
sexual...
was forced to apologize for that in the air. And then he's been going, like, he was interviewing Elizabeth Warren about Bloomberg's sexist comments, and he's like, well, do you really think he said that? You know,
but apparently he's also sexually harassed people.
And
that's what's about to come out. So he was just like, fuck y'all.
Because I was going to say that Bernie thing, that you'd think MSNBC would have appreciated that. Because although they are more left-leaning than CNN, they're still run by oligarchs.
Sure. Rachel, you on social media are the world's most beautiful white woman.
Apparently.
Because you take a what celebrity do you look like?
I've never gotten a black person before.
At least you've got a woman result.
In the history of the internet and those dumbass quizzes, I only ever get white women or Japanese women. That's it.
What celebrity do you usually look like most of the time?
Do people ever tell you look like somebody?
No, I've never been told I look like anyone.
I mean, on the quizzes, who's usually...
It's always someone different.
Like
I think
Chloe
recently it was
Savini
like...
or something like that.
I think recently it was... Because I did
was
one...
Was it Angelina Jolie?
Recently three times. No, she wishes. I got Katy Perry and Zooey Deschanel.
Yes, I remember. I saw
Charlize
that.
Theron. Mm-hmm. And... somebody else white. I don't know who these people are. Amber Heard. I still don't know who that is.
Mark, who do you get that? What celebrity do you look like the most?
People always tell me I look like Mr. Big from Sex and
Chris Knopf.
Chris Knopf.
Oh, your nose is big.
But I used to
enough.
Get Scott Baio. I used to get.
No. No.
When I was younger, I would get that too.
But when you take the quizzes, what happens?
The European from what was the TV show? Were the cousins? He had the weird Bronson Pinchon. Do you remember
Bronson
him?
Pinchot.
Pinchot, yes.
Perfect okay. Strangers.
Perfect Strangers, yes.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. Something like that.
Yeah. The only one I can see is Mr. Big. If Mr. Big had
For
a younger
while,
brother.
For a while, Misunderstood. I don't know if she remembers this, but she called us one time to find out what it would cost to get Mark and a Carrie Fisher drag queen impersonator to go to an event together.
Ooh,
it didn't work
fun.
Out, but
and it all they came really close. And I'm like, if Misunderstood could have worked it, you know, Mark could have had a second career as a Sex in the City, Mr. Big impersonator.
I worked at a champagne bar at the height of the TV show when it was ending, pretty much, and when the movie was about to start, and girls every night would come in and be like, anybody ever tell you, who do people tell you you look like? And I would just be like, oh God. One night I got it six times. For a while there was I would tell them that he was my dad. He was a real jerk and we don't talk. They're like, what? Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, I always get Ryan Reynolds for some reason.
No, not at all.
And I'm like, I don't look anything like Ryan Reynolds.
No.
There is a Facebook group that you can post called Celebrities Who Look Like Fausto Fornos. Because the guy, Jeffrey Sabella from Project Runway.
Season two winner,
did look a lot like me. And for a while, I was out in public and people be like, oh my God, is that you? And I'm like, yeah. It's like, what happened to the tattoo on your neck? And I'm like... It was fake.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, at the time I looked a lot like him and he looked a lot like me. And yeah. so it led to the creation of this Facebook page. And so every now and then, if someone sends me a photo, it's like, oh my God, this guy looks totally like you. I just file it there.
Wow, no. No, no.
At the time, you totally look like.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a little bit of that.
Dude, search back
you're
2002.
Talking, you're looking at years. There's photos of it. Anyways.
We'll see.
Guys.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So visit our store at feastoffun.com/store. Get yourself a t-shirt. Not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving. You can get it in green for St. Patrick's Day. Order now.
Really?
Yeah. You can get it in green, can't you?
The green, the luck of the... No, I don't think so, but maybe.
The luck of the Irish.
Hey, remember, folks, we love your feedback, and we love hearing from you. And one of the best ways to tell the world that you love Feast of Fun is to go on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts and write a review. Oh. We're going to read a review by Mike Mia Garcia, 123, Panda Bear. What Disney character would you like to hear it in?
What Disney character would I like to hear it in? Moana.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can do a Moana impersonation.
Lilu.
Okay.
Anyway, see how hard it is. He was trying to get me to do that last week. I'm like, I have to listen to somebody first. You just can't pull that out on me. See what it's like now.
I'll do it as the Grescuers.
Oh, as Ava Gabor.
Ava Gabor, darling, simply the best. Among the multitude of LGBT-themed podcasts, Feast of Fun, fools to us long-time listeners, host Mark and Fausto stand above all else with a wide range of topics covered. The amount of research and knowledge they have regarding our community's history and their amazing guests.
I sound like Ariana Huffington.
You do.
I've been a listener for well over a decade and will continue to support these guys and their fantastic work they do for the world. Long lived Feast of Fun. Thank you, Mia Garcia.
Thank you so much, Mia.
Is Ariana Huffington created by Disney?
I don't know.
No, yeah. She's by somebody in Greece.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, she's Greek.
But yeah, when you do a Zsa Zsa Gabor or Ava Gabor accent, it's hard not to sound like Ariana Huffington. There's a different. I have to hear it beforehand. I'm just pulling it out of my ass here.
Okay.
Anyways, Rachel Hall. You can follow Rachel Hall is Funny.
Yes, Rachel Hall is Funny on all platforms, including the Cash App.
All right.
All right, girl. Tip her, honey.
Yes.
Put it in her.
Tip
and pull
me.
It out.
No.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.